We begin our Christmas Eve service with the words of an anonymous poet. If, as Herod, we fill our lives with things, and again with things, if we consider ourselves so important that we must fill every moment of our lives with action, when will we have time to make the long, slow journey across the burning desert, as did the Magi? Or sit and watch the stars, as did the shepherds? Or brood over the coming of a child, as did Mary? For each one of us, there is a desert to travel, a star to discover, and a being within ourselves to bring to life. So may it be this Christmas Eve. I think our singing sounds so much better with the brass, so thank you, Paul and Timothy, for being here to help us tonight. I'm going to tell a story that's called God in Hiding, and it's a sort of a traditional story that I've added a few little of my own spins on, as you might imagine. And I like to think of this story as sort of the very first version of hide and seek that was ever played. So once upon a time, not so long ago, and in a place very much like this one, with people very much like us, there was God sitting somewhere pondering a place to hide in creation. God said, I want to hide somewhere in creation. I just can't figure out the right place, the best place for me to hide. So as you'll find out, of course, in our story tonight, there are often not only angels appearing, but a multitude of the heavenly host, one of my favorite phrases in the scripture that we'll have tonight. But so these angels all gathered around God to help God figure out this question of where to hide. So God said to the angels, I want to hide myself in creation, and I need to find a place that isn't too easy, because I've figured out that these beings, these creatures that I've created, the more they actually have to look for me, the more they grow in understanding and in spirit. So it can't be an easy hiding place. I'm wondering, you angels, can you guys kind of help me out here, figure out a hiding place? And one angel pipes up right away, looks at God and says, I've got it. I've got it all figured out. You should hide deep, 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 deep in the earth. God thought about this for a moment. Seems like a pretty good idea. But then God thought a little bit longer and thought, but no, no, no. Because I don't think it'll take them that long to find me there. They'll figure out a way to drill down into the earth or to dig down into the earth, and they'll get to me a little bit too soon, and, you know, they might get a little distracted by all these natural resources, those nice things that I put in the earth, and they might not pay too close attention to finding me. They might get a little distracted. So I don't think the earth is a good choice. I think we should come up with another idea. What do you think, other angels? Anybody else have an idea? So they thought a little bit longer, and another angel piped up and said, I've got it! I've got it! This is the idea to end all ideas. This is definitely the best idea. I've got it figured out. God, you should hide on the moon. You should hide on their moon. They'll never find you there. They'll never figure to look for you there. They'll never find you. God thought, No, that would take longer than hiding in Earth. I think that's probably true. But sooner or later, I think those pesky humans are going to figure out a way to get to their own moon. And then when they do, they're going to look around the moon a little bit, and they'll find me, and they'll explore the wonders of the moon. But I think they'll find me, and they won't have grown enough in spirit or in understanding before they find me on the moon. So I don't think that's the right one. Anybody else? Well, now the angels were really stumped. They thought these were the best ideas they had, and if God didn't want these ideas, what were they going to do? They had no more good ideas, and so they sat there in silence for a really long time. It was one of those awkward silences where nobody says anything for a while. Because where else was there? The angels were wondering. Where else could they suggest? Finally, after a really long time, the youngest angel in all this group of angels, the smallest and youngest angel in the whole group said, "I know. I know where you should hide. I've got it, God." Well, what? The littlest angel said, "I think you should hide in their hearts. In the heart of every single creature, every single being of creation. They'll never think to look there." And God said, "Huh, what an idea. I kind of like it. That's it." God was so delighted to have figured out the perfect hiding place. And God thought, you know, now that means every single creature in creation will have to do this big looking within themselves. They'll have to grow down deep in their own understanding of their own spirit, of their own hearts, of every part of themselves, to discover once and for all that this source, that this God life light has always been there. And not only that, but when they discover that, they'll figure out that it'll never leave them either. And won't that be amazing? Now, I thought to tell you this story about God in hiding because I think the Christmas story is like the ultimate God in hiding story. Because God decided to hide in this little baby born to a poor family in the middle of almost nowhere. And not only that, but God hid in this beautiful star, in the gifts of kings, and in the most amazing story we've ever heard. And so every year we tell it again because we realize that God is hiding in so many pieces of the Christmas story. And hopefully, by telling the story again, we'll remember that God is hiding in us too. So let us hear the story again. For our services with families, we like to throw in a little something that's not just a scriptural story. We like to throw in what I call a contemporary lesson. And tonight, I share with you a meditation on the Christmas story by dear colleague Vanessa Southern. This meditation is entitled, In the Dark. Have you noticed how many of the important parts of the Christmas story happen in the dark? That metaphor for things not clearly seen or known. I always imagine Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem in the dark after all the rooms are filled because of this lousy census, the one that forced them to travel even though Mary was 9 months pregnant. And the shepherds come by night too. No lanterns or luminarias were lit for this occasion, though that bright star hung so strangely in the sky over the place where Mary and Joseph rested. The wise men also came by night, and without trumpet fanfares to announce or welcome them, no fine china set out, no eggnog to serve. And then they all leave, as quietly as they came. Even Mary and Joseph, at an angel's warning, pick up their things and go, hiding their child who was otherwise impossible to conceal. From sundown to sunrise, so much happens while most of the world sleeps. To the people in the adjacent inn, it was just another night in a lumpy bed. These activities in the dark of night are so different from what we do to celebrate these same events. It is all blinking lights and garlands, celebrations and pressures, so much preparation on this end, and yet the story we honor was so much the opposite. The truth is that the original story, all that coming and going by night, is probably closer to the way our own lives unfold. In our lives, no choral refrain announces the great visitors. No angels sing glorias to mark the dramatic moments. We bid a loved one hello or goodbye at a bus station, with the music of beeping horns and squealing brakes, or welcome a baby with only the chatter of nurses and midwives to accompany our amazement. You and I work through the hard parts of marital life and learn to love more deeply. We lose our center and find it again. We and those we love face illness and get better or worse. We wrestle with fears and uncertainties. We discover ultimate purpose and all the questions and gifts these moments offer to us are almost never handed over by messengers in fancy robes and crown jewels. Much of life does happen, so to speak, in the night, under the quiet cover of the ordinary, when no one notices but us how the world has just pivoted or quaked in our intimate sphere. And just as quietly, we set out the next day by another road. How silently the wonder is made known when God imparts to human hearts the gift that is our own. Just when the noise of the world gets to be too much, just when your heart gets a little jaded and cynical, a little too old for this, Christmas manages to sneak its way into your heart again. In the candlelight, in the beauty of voices in song, in the wonder of a child's face at this time of year. May the magic, the peace, the goodwill toward all, which our world so desperately needs, be yours not only this Christmas Eve, but every season of your life. May it bless you and keep you and hold you. Merry Christmas and Amen.